pals, coming live from the law library at the University of Tennessee in the stacks. I think I see the constitutional law right behind you. It is Cousin Shane. We asked for Bratton, but he was down in New Orleans at the parade. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good to be on. And I tell you, buddy, I ain't watched so much court TV since OJ was on trial, man.
Yeah, I mean, I just been texting Marsha Clark just to find out what the latest was. And if you got that joke, you're probably thinking about retirement. Cousin Shane, what do we know? I guess we didn't miss the verdict, did we?
No, we didn't. But we like to assume that he will be back, right? We always like to be a little bit more optimistic around here in East Tennessee. But, you know, you talk people that are really close to it, it's almost like a coin toss at this point. But, yeah, we're really hoping that he comes back. But I don't know. The longer this thing gets drug out, the more I feel like he may not. So, I'm in that camp. It could be either way right now.
They always say in court, and I've been there too many times, short verdict is good for the defendant. A long verdict means they are thinking about throwing the book. So, what impact would Joey Aguilar have on this Tennessee team that without him doesn't have a quarterback? You may have to come off the bench.
Yeah, boy, we hit rock bottom if that happens, Paul. I feel like what Joey brings to this football team is a high ceiling. You know, we all want to get back to the college football playoffs here in Knoxville, and I feel like with Aguilar out there paired with some of the additions Tennessee's made in the offseason, especially on that defensive side, that, hey, they could get right back in this mix. But if Joey's not out there, I feel like that ceiling comes down a little bit, and we're looking at potentially an 8-9-win season at best.
Don't like the sound of it. Last season felt really disappointing to me. Maybe when Vanderbilt comes in there and steals your lunch money and you lose so many other games. But I've talked to a number of people, including your cousin, and it seems like everybody's okay. Am I reading the room correctly?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like the writing, you know, we're going to be talking about expansion of college football playoffs. And I feel like once you get out of that race for some of these teams, these losses late in the season hurt a little less, if that makes sense. And I feel like, nobody wants to lose to Vanderbilt, Tennessee especially. But I feel like it lost a little bit of luster because potentially like the Oklahoma game. I felt like that one had more ramifications on as far as environment here in Knoxville.
Talking to Cousin Shane. Shane, listen, I apologize for not being glued to the podcast lately. I don't quote me on this, but when football season ends, I go away. I don't pay attention to college football. I don't want to hear it until August. So what have I missed over these last few weeks?
Well, I mean, obviously a lot of court talk, right? I figured that's why you had me on. You're like, hey, which guy has been in court more than anybody? But it was good to be on. But right now we're starting to get deep into list season. You know what that's like when we start ranking best quarterbacks, best coaches, so on and so forth. We're just trying to get by till we get to spring, which we'll be firing up here soon. So that's what we need. We need some action back on the football field and a little less court talk.
Well, let's get to some of those lists. And Bratton always likes to, you know, put poor coaches on the hot seat when they're doing a perfectly good job and they're doing their best. So, right now, is it still Kirby Smart? Does he still own the SEC, or did all the attention about Lane Kiffin move him up in shouting distance?
Right. I think Lane obviously going to be a fun topic, fun conversation will be every time that he's near this sport. But Kirby, you know, he keeps winning the SEC championships. It's not expanding into the playoffs here, but I feel like that's why a few folks are getting upset down there in Athens. They're saying, oh, all right, yeah, I like winning the SEC championship, but we want to win some playoff games. We want to hoist that national championship trophy. But, I feel like Kirby's still the king around here. But we've got some teams that are moving in. Texas obviously getting a lot of hype. You mentioned LSU. Trinidad coming back to Ole Miss. There's going to be a lot of storylines coming in here for that team that's going to take over Kirby Smart. But until they beat him, I just don't know if we can crown him.
But Cousin Shane, you realize, of course, I know you do, that you, Cousin Shane, yeah. have won as many college football playoff games in the last two seasons as Kirby Smart.
Yeah, that is absolutely true, right? Yeah, are we putting Kirby Smart on the hot seat? I don't know.
Yes, we just crossed the Rubicon right there. That's the first shot at Kirby Smart ever issued on this program, and it won't be the last if he has another postseason like the last one. And I'm not talking about that SEC championship game. I'm talking about CFP.
Yes, well, that's what we like about our show, Paul. We've got a lot of folks coming in that from different teams, and you sense the frustration, right? Make it to a playoff, getting bounced out the first game. Yes, at the end of the day, that's exactly what Georgia is expected to do, and that's what we want, right? Trust me, nobody hates it more than I that an SEC team is not winning the national, championship at the end of the season. In 3 years, that's a long time. And there's been a lot of Georgia teams I've hyped up, expanded on them being bullies and going there and beat the brakes off one of these teams, and then they don't do it, then I look like an idiot. So, yeah, I'm ready for Georgia to be dominant. If they don't, we need a couple of teams to just step into this thing and bring the SEC championship back home.
Yeah, well, that's not easy. I said a few things last year, and I don't know if you saw it about 3 weeks ago, literally right at this desk. I made a statement about the Big Ten was better. Now, I will only say this to you because I've never revealed this. There was somebody to my right and somebody to my left with AK-47, so I just wanted you to know that.
Yeah, I figured you were a little under the gun up there, and we didn't hold it against you, Paul.
Now, listen, I mean, I did not want to say it, but I just felt for my family's sake that, we've had a rough year trying to overcome some setbacks, and I just did not want to leave them without anything, without a working participant. So I decided I needed to keep my job at least for now.
Absolutely. Paul, we all have weak moments. I've been doing good on my diet, but then I walked out and their Girl Scouts were sitting out there. So, I had to help the community,
So, okay, I mentioned the Big Ten situation. We had Stephen A. Smith, you may have heard of him, on this program yesterday. And I asked him about Kalen DeBoer, and he said, "I'm not a fan." And then he went off into this diatribe. Where are you on Kalen DeBoer?
I'm not out, right? I feel like this is the season. We're kind of at a fork in the road. And, remove Kalen DeBoer's name from it. Remove the university away from it. If I told you a coach came into this conference, knocked on the door of a college football playoff year one, went to the playoff year two, you'd look at that like progress. And I feel like until we see a maybe a Drinkwitz turn or something, I think at this point we've got to give Kalen the opportunity to prove that he's the right guy down there. So I feel like year three, this is, back in the day, we always said, hey, give coach to year three, year four.
Hold on a second. You just went after Eli Drinkwitz here on a Kalen DeBoer question. That is not part of what my Q&A that your guys sent over here. I mean, what is your beef with Eli? I mean, he watches and he'll be tweeting it at Bratton any minute now.
I like giving Drink a hard time, and he knows it. He knows that he's created standards up there in Mizzou, right? They didn't hit those standards last year. And so anybody that sits here and says that Mizzou's moving in the right direction, they're lying to herself. They moved backward last year. But this is a coach that went out there, got his quarterback, paired it up with probably the most explosive running game this side of the Mississippi. So I'm looking forward to what Drink could do. But, we always like to throw that last dance around. Steve Sarkisian's hitting that right now. But I think Drink is kind of in that as well. The pressure, I believe, would be on Drink with saying, hey, I want to prove that I am a great coach. I want to prove that this is a great university and that this is a football team that will be competing for national championship trophies. They can't do that if they're moving backwards.
Well, plenty of tickets still available for the opener against Arkansas Pine Bluff. he'll need that game with some of those mid and late games. Cousin Shane, always a pleasure. Hope you're having a good winter, and we will see you soon, I hope.
All right, see you guys.
You got it. Cousin Shane joining us from –